If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. This is Jason Q, Citizen and Friends, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Jason Q, Citizen and Friends program for this Monday. And it's an interesting day here in New South Wales where we have a public holiday, and it's probably a day of mourning for anyone who is a fan of those that support the team in blue and yellow, who made two of three grand finals yesterday and were defeated convincingly in both. For mine, as a long-suffering Parramatta supporter, I'm feeling that I may actually have to file for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences, given that I need a win and my partner cannot provide. It's a tragedy that befits the fallen in the sporting world, and it just goes to show how we concentrate on things that have little real meaning, but it's the idea of connecting to the tribe that makes it so compelling. And so it is that we back up next year, or maybe back up next year, and work out what's going on. This, of course, is a little bit of light in times of absolute unbelievable circumstances going on in the world today, and we are feeling and seeing and witnessing everything being shaken up before our very eyes. And amongst it all, it's the idea of searching through needles in haystacks for facts, stories, information that tends to consolidate what is the true narrative behind it all. Why are the players in this great theatre, this theatrical production that we're watching, why are they behaving in certain ways? Why is it that now we find out about Fauci earning over $5 million, taking his wealth to $12 million, which is hard to believe that he's only worth that on $465,000 a year salary, when you see people like Nancy Pelosi on half that as members of Congress, and yet they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. These people all know the same people. And so it is that you would expect that Fauci's worth way more than that, but we don't get to talk about that at the moment. But at least we now know that he's profiting off making rules without any oversight, which is astonishing, and therefore is able to make money. And worse, his wife, Christine Grady, is also employed in the agency as the person in charge of ethics. You couldn't make it up if you tried. It feels like it's worthy of a Stephen King story. But of course, Stephen King is in the back pocket of these guys too. So that's why we don't get the Fauci Stephen King it story that we deserve. Now, in light of the Optus hack, and this is for listeners around the world, Optus is our number two telco here in Australia, and their database was hacked where 40% of the country's people, some 10 million people, were affected by their secretly held data, that is their personal information, Medicare, driver's license, passports, all the information you need to give 100 points of ID to obtain an account has been hacked. Now, what's really frightening about this is obviously that information is now known to an anonymous criminal third party, but also for how worthless one's data really is. A few years ago, I did some research just on what happens when data is stolen and how it's sold. And it turns out that if you lose your driver's license, it's sold on the open market for a few cents, like 3 or 4 cents. If you manage to get hold of someone's entire identification, passport, license, bank account details, credit card numbers, the whole kit and caboodle, it sells on the black market, or at least it did about 3 years ago, for $12 a piece. That's what you're worth to a crook today, $12. And the reason that it would be so low is that obviously it's a numbers game, and that many people would be able to disengage their credit cards, their banking details before the criminal element got hold of it. But of course, the criminals want as much return as they possibly can. And yet someone who goes to the effort of stealing your data can only get about $12 for all of it, which is truly astonishing. But what I'm really interested in reporting now is how it's now purveying the media, even at a community level. In my local area here in the Hunter Valley, a lady called Donna Sharp, who's the lower Hunter editor for the Maitland Mercury, has written an op-ed about this specifically. Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'd just like to touch on a couple of points. First of all, she says she was fortunate enough not to be caught up in the Optus cyber attack, but yet it still bothers her. She talks about the idea that her family member had credit card details stolen twice, with money subsequently skimmed from his bank. He believes that it occurred that while he was at the airport, and these are the skimming devices that people do when they walk past your walk past you in a mall. So that's why people use these skim guard protection devices, which is quite interesting. She talks about receiving some strange emails that provoke a response, and obviously she doesn't respond to them. She's talking about things like ScamWatch, which are Australian government supported ways of being able to educate people. She talks about how this is shared across community media websites. But she's very, very concerned about what's going on. And this is a real line in the sand now, because now we've got actual mainstream, even at the community level, editors who are now going up against what must be a line in the sand for the digital economy. In the show today, I'm going to have Sonia Bailey on in a moment. I'm going to have Jeremy Beck on in the next hour to discuss a terrific subject I want to look into, which is now General Petraeus, the disgraced general who had the affair with his co-author of his bio when he was the head of the CIA, has come out and talked about what may happen in relation to Russia and nuclear attack and what America may do. Big story I want to talk about there. And Dr. John Humphreys, economist from the Australian Taxpayers Alliance, will join us in the second hour to discuss a whole range of hot topics. The tax cut rejections, first time in Australian history, people want to reject tax cuts in this country, can't believe it. Where this recession is headed, the Queensland land tax. We're going to talk to him about gold and silver and also some information about what's going on overseas in relation to the tax cuts over there to stimulate the economy. Goodness me, there's a lot to talk about here. It's very, very exciting, and we're going to continue straight after this. But why not give TNT Radio a follow? We are on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Your news, local and abroad.
It's the news from home and from overseas.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know her? She is a brilliant, brilliant researcher working hard to find out the details, the intricate details of what's going on in the world today. And as we were saying in the opening, part of the story is the big picture narrative, but then it's the nitty gritty of details. And Sonia Bailey, welcome back to Jason Q Citizen and Friends.
Thanks so much, Jason. As usual, very happy to be here.
Well, thanks, Sonia. And one of the great themes of last week, after we did our sort of review of the week before and our look into the week ahead, is the idea that everything seems to be getting turned on its head now. What I mean is that the progressives are becoming the conservatives. The conservatives are being forced to become the radicals in just terms of understanding what's really, really going on here. I started the week talking about the idea that progressivism has drifted from the idea of equality, equal opportunity and fairness into a new area I call permissiveness. In other words, if someone can think something up, and in particular, everyone can familiarize themselves with drag queens reading to three-year-olds in public libraries. But last week we saw the horrifying photographs of these young children walking up and actually touching the nether regions of these drag queens in front of adults. Now, this is a bridge too far. This is the very definition of what we've talked about child protection, but suddenly it's all forgotten. And the overarching, this is the architecture of how authority works when it wants to get something into place that shouldn't be there, is that the trouble we get now is that the authorities that should be saying that is an absolute no-no are telling the people that are arguing against it that they're in the wrong and they have to let this permissiveness continue. And this is where it starts to fall off the rails. And so we're now finding that there's a divide, and now there's a new unspoken area in the community. And I think that evidence from what Donna Sharp's article in the Maitland Mercury is a case here whereby we're starting to see that there is a fork in the road. And these are completely different issues. But my point is that when something really deeply affects someone, that's when they get their little jolt, their little bolt of lightning, and that's when they can start to honestly understand what's going on. And one of the topics that I want to bring this up, because this is all about the nuances and the subtleties, is the idea that Joe Biden is clearly doing a Democrat mantra here, and that mantra is, I need to win the votes. We need to do the Democrat thing. We need to keep the borders open. We need to keep the poorest people in the community happy. And so he came out with this thing about student debt, and he promised the world that he was going to pay it off. Now, technically what he did was he stole Bernie Sanders' idea from, goodness me, 2016, 6 years ago, when they all mocked it, and now he's decided to cash in on it. But guess what? It's backfired, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think, Jason, you know, from the outset, whenever we hear a politician promise that a debt is going to be waived or a debt is going to be paid, wiped, forgiven, the first question I always have is, has this been costed and who's really paying for it?
Mm.
That's before we get into the legalities of whether that debt can actually be repaid, forgiven, wiped, whatever the case may be. So in these sort of circumstances, I mean, we've seen it here in Australia, we've seen it in the UK, we've seen it in the US, where this whole idea of student debt forgiveness or student debt reduction comes into play. It's always the taxpayer who suffers, and it's never without strings attached. And in this case, you know, this article that's come up just yesterday in the Epoch Times, basically it's headed, Biden admin quietly makes reversal in student loan forgiveness program and scales back the eligibility. Now, this would not be the first time that we have seen a government body or a politician essentially move the goalposts after a promise has been made, even sometimes after a rollout has actually commenced. But what I find interesting in this case is that the legalities around the authority to actually make the changes and make the promises in the first place may not exist quite the way that Biden, or at least his administration, purported them to. So this article in Epoch Times, it says that the Biden administration quietly issued an update to its student loan forgiveness plan on September 29th, drastically scaling back eligibility on the same day that six Republican-led states filed a lawsuit against President Joe Biden, claiming that his student loan forgiveness plan is illegal. So I think, you know, what a coinkydink that on the same day that this lawsuit is filed to sort of expose the legalities around this promise that's been made and the truth of where the funding's coming from and the truth of what the end result to the students is going to be, just happens to be that on that same day, Biden's administration is scaling back on its eligibility for said program. Now, that, of course, then begs the question of, what were the legalities in the first place, and where does this now go for students and for people who really are feeling the pinch of what can essentially be $250,000 investment in education?
It's it really does go deep here, because you've got six Republican attorneys general who've now filed this lawsuit: Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and South Carolina, saying that it's illegal and it contravenes this HEROES Act, Higher Education Relief Opportunities for Students. And so what we are looking at now is, the devil is always in the detail. And it is in the detail here that we must concentrate, because it is the detail whereby these guys dance their way through every loophole they possibly can with every possible advantage that goes along. We could mirror this throughout this entire conversation today, and in fact, all week on this program, we could show and highlight different points of how this is done. And you only have to look at Fauci and Gates for the way that they manipulate everything, and how all the conspiracy theories are all becoming conspiracy facts one by one. You can literally tick them off. So this is a really interesting point, and one that I think is where the students now are going to be rightly annoyed with the president, who believe that the Democrats are the party of caretaking, or that my government really cares about me. This unbelievable notion. Now, and we're going to talk about this in detail tomorrow on the program with Rob McMullen, who's done a whole lot of writing and work on this particular subject. And we've talked about it previously on the program. The idea that the caretaking, the government's looking after me. Now that it's almost as if people are now being led to believe that mum and dad haven't got my best interests at heart, and that's why we had to introduce the whole mature minors to take their vaccine without mum and dad's knowledge. And now it's the government that's caring for me more than my own parents would, and this great big shift now. So this is these are the shifting sands in society. This is a very big story, even if it is buried in the detail. But I really like the way that the author of the article has pointed to the obvious thing, that the Biden administration's mat desk cancellation does not even attempt to meet the requirements of the HEROES Act. Instead, it just justifies relief for all borrowers whose debt for administration holds based on the talismanic reference to the COVID-19 pandemic. It makes no difference to the admin's cancellation, whether the pandemic rendered a borrower better or worse off, or how much financial harm the borrower suffered in relation. It's like we are living in a world that is determined to just follow a communistic redistribution of resources, and resources, Sonia, that aren't even there. The United States is in so much debt that technically it's bankrupt, and this is another area. You can say anything you want if you're using someone else's money, and that is exactly how these left of center governments are operating around the world, and it is absolutely no different to how it is here in Australia, whereby the Chalmers treasurer is not even dealing with the debt crisis in this country. And Albanese, well, he's off with the fairies, and all they're doing is spending like a drunken sailor, trying to virtue signal to the world that they are the world leaders of green energy, like that's somehow going to do anything that's going to make anything better. I don't think Mother Earth is going to get up and clap her hands and say, thanks, everyone. The skies are now cleaner now. But doesn't matter that you can't eat, feed yourself, and you're really struggling. It's just a preposterous imbalance, and it's this balance that is completely missing from all of this argument. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a whole lot more here on the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
The referendum in Donbass is one of the most important happenings in the world today. Ukraine is saying that this is farcical, that they want their territory, that Russia's stealing their people again. And yet, in the last week, just in Donetsk, Ukraine killed almost 30 people, and it included a prenatal hospital as a target. Now, the HIMARS, these targets are approved by the U.S. government. So when Sergei Lavrov is saying that the U.S. and the EU and anyone supporting Australia isn't neutral, they're providing targeting information or approving the targets. This is pregnant women having babies or getting ready to have babies. That's a legitimate target. This is the country that wants this land and these people back. That's not what it's about.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swinging in reason.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
The electric vehicle, saving the planet, killing children. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. Provisional mortality statistics were released last week here in Australia from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and I'm here to tell you they're not good. In 2022, there were 92,699 deaths that occurred by 30th of June and registered by 31 August, which is, are you ready for this, 13,524 more than the historical average. That's 17.1%. In June, there were 16,749 deaths, 2,410 above the historical average, which is 16.8%. So those numbers are consistent. Deaths due to COVID-19 increased in July when compared with May and June. And if that's the case in these mild stages, then this vaccine is simply not working. Now, furthermore than that, and we can provide further statistics from New South Wales, whereby 90% of all deaths in this state are to those that have been vaccinated. And those, the more vaccines you get, it seems the worse you go. The highest percentage of deaths are in those that have been vaccinated four or more times. But that also suggests that generally that would be people who are older, who have reached life expectancy. Moving on further from that, the biggest increase of deaths in the all-cause death rate is dementia, up over 20% higher than normal. This is very, very disturbing. Also, diabetes is second on the list, and third, cancer, up 6%. Sonia, it's the story again behind the story, which is part of the reason why TNT is here, to serve the interests of the community and provide perspectives that are otherwise lost in a very, very difficult system to navigate. But if dementia deaths are up over 20%, does it tell you that there's more to be studied here, and do you smell a rat?
Oh, most definitely. And I think, you know, we haven't been through the things that we've been through in the last couple of years without sort of passing everything we encounter through a little bit of a filter and just, you know, taking it all with a little grain of salt. We can't take anything at face value. And I think that even when we consider, you know, everything that's going on in the US, everything that's going on with Russia and the Ukraine, everything that's going on with the UK and China and COVID and our government, we can't help but sit back for a little minute and think, hold on, how much of this is what they want us to perceive versus what's actually the truth?
Mm.
And when we begin to actually take a little step back and consider what's the truth in all of this kerfuffle that they want us to believe? What is the grain of salt amidst this absolute avalanche of garbage? When we actually look for what is provable truth, we find that it's quite different to the narrative that we're being fed. And when we look at things like what the Bureau of Statistics has released in relation to mortality, it's interesting that over the last couple of years, I struggled to find any data that had occurred in 2020 or 2021, yet here we are with something that applies to the last 6 months. What a coincidence.
Yes.
You know, so I can't help but look at this and think, okay, well, how much of this is fact and how much of this is a spun narrative to make us believe that this is the actual truth? So when I look at these sort of all-cause deaths and the numbers and the percentages that they're increased by, it's a significant increase. For those numbers to have gone up 16-17% compared to the year prior and 10 years prior, that's a significant increase. It's normally only around, you know, 1-2%, if that. It's sort of a marginal number. So for it to be up 16-17%, that's significant. But when we begin to actually break down the reasoning, the causes of death may seem quite normal. You know, Alzheimer's is not unusual. Dementia is not unusual. Ischemic heart disease, which is the breakdown of the heart in the elderly, that's not unusual. And let's face it, even death from obesity and, you know, the knock-on effects of being chronically overweight, it's not really that unusual. But when we begin to break down the figures and look at the ages of the people that fall into these categories, when we look at the vaccine statistics of the people that fall into these categories, we become aware that this is not as normal as they would want us to believe.
Yeah, indeed. Well said. And what's frightening about these statistics is there's no breakdown of age. So they're not breaking Correct. Down like they do with COVID stats. So lies, and damn statistics. Now, the figure that you instantly pull out of this that would be of concern to anyone of the 14,910 deaths that occurred in June of 2022, 1,839 were coroner referred. That's 12%. Now, if all of these deaths are, as we said, dementia, diabetes, cancer, ischemic heart disease, these are already known. These aren't going to the coroner. So this is something else. So this is underage, heart attacks, unexpected deaths. That is a lot of deaths. And when you consider for the month, we were 2,410 above the historical average. And of that number, 25% of that number is going to the coroner. There's something that's definitely not right here.
And that's also only within that last 6 month period. This isn't sort of looking at the last 2.5 years. It's just the last 6 months.
Yes, exactly right. So this is very, very concerning. Now, we're going to pause for news headlines. We're going to come back. There's a whole lot more to discuss. And this is not limited to, of course, our favorite subject. I'm sure Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci will make their regular appearance as they do on this show. But you know what? We need to shut the gates. We need to shut the gates right out of the whole story. But we'll continue with that right after the news headlines here on TNT Radio.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. The death toll from Hurricane Ian has climbed above 80, and there are fears it'll continue rising as hundreds of people remain unaccounted for. Russia's parliament will vote to formally annex 4 Ukrainian regions on Monday after President Putin signed off on their accession to the Russian Federation. And over 100 people have been killed at a soccer match in Indonesia after police fired tear gas on rioting fans, triggering one of the world's deadliest stadium disasters.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
I tell you what, the shop is looking fantastic. The TNT Radio shop, the t-shirts, the jackets, the caps, the cups, the puppy dog bowls, the bandanas. There's got to be something there for everyone. If you are a truth person who wants to get outside of the mainstream toilet paper news, as Mike rightly calls it, check out the TNT Radio shop, tntradio.live/shop, and snare yourself a bargain and a gift today. Sonia, the Gates Foundation is researching how to manipulate you into taking future COVID vaccines, including hard cash, whilst it's still available. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is now funding studies on how to best manipulate people to receive future COVID-19 vaccines, including targeted messaging and financial compensation, despite studies continuing to show links between the vaccine and myocarditis. Now, this is an article appearing in the National Pulse written by Natalie Winters. Researchers supported by the Gates Foundation published a study aiming at curbing the said hesitancy titled Overcoming Vaccine Hesitancy for Future COVID-19 and HIV Vaccines, Lessons from Measles and HPV. Now, When I see an HIV vaccine touted, and Anthony Fauci's been selling this to the public for 40 years, I feel like we are going to be manipulated beyond all that is necessary. And what's more interesting is the fact that the virus for whom it most affects is already nullified through the use of PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis drugs that are already available widely in the community, which means that anyone who is HIV positive can take one of these drugs and be untransmissible to a partner through any form of unprotected contact. So I don't know why we're even pursuing the HIV vaccine at this stage, knowing that it's impossible, it can't even work, and yet here they are already funding studies, and one wonders if they're going to then coerce people again into taking a vaccine that they do not need using no doubt mRNA technology when that time comes. But the idea of coercion and trying to make people be encouraged through financial incentive, this is yet another one of those devil in the detail stories here that must be exposing why this is going on.
Yeah, Jason, I think that it's funny because the stories that we're discussing this evening and the news that we're discussing, it kind of all seems unrelated until we realize what the common thread here is.
Yes.
And the common thread here is, you're an idiot. You'll just do what we say if we dangle the right carrot.
Yes.
If we give enough welfare, if we give you enough handouts, if we put up enough smoke and mirrors, you won't even bother to look beyond that. And for a majority of people, sadly, that is where we are at as a society. A majority of people think that student debt is going to make their lives easier. If that gets wiped, oh, problem solved. Then we can have all of these fully qualified staff manning hospitals and teaching in our schools. But the practicality is that it doesn't work that way. And yes, it applies equally to the vaccine. It applies equally to this such a simple war that's going on between Ukraine and Russia. None of it is as simple or as straightforward as they would have you believe. And while you're busy being distracted by financial incentives, while you're busy being distracted by, oh, no, it's rare for those side effects to occur, you know, we are just being absolutely hoodwinked. And what we need to be doing is we need to be seeing the wolf in the sheep's clothing. We need to be ripping that sheepy wool blanket off and saying, look at what's underneath, because that's the truth. And it's no surprise at all that Fauci and Gates are willing to push jab after jab for made up actual viruses and everything in between. And as you said, Fauci's been pushing some of these vaccines for decades. Gates has been involved in this for decades. And when somebody has been pushing something for the entirety of my life, for the number of years that I have been alive, I completely understand why it is that people younger than you and I lap it up and buy every single word that they're pushing, because they don't know any better. And they can't see beyond the smoke and mirrors to actually see the truth. That's why it's important for radio stations like TNT to be speaking the truth and sharing the truth and exposing the wolf in the sheep's clothing.
Well, that's right. And whilst we can present unlimited news and commentary to our audience, it's very important that our audience, who is already well informed and very keen to think for themselves, to go out and explore this in more detail. So please check out our website, of course, and download shows of interest and have a listen to a different presenter each week. It's a really cool way of doing it. But I'll tell you what, I'm really loving the app. When I get in the car and I just hit the button and my radio is now playing straight from my phone through the speakers, it's terrific. Now, this is a topic without notice, Sonia, and the reason I've just selected this is also from the National Pulse. The Gates Foundation, goodness me, funds the Clinton China Initiative. The Gates Foundation funding Clinton Initiative to force China reliance on the developing world. Now, the story behind the story, now it's pretty obvious, we can read what's going on here, that Gates is providing money to the unlimited pot of gold that is in the Clinton Foundation and its subsidiaries to now go and use that access to go and coerce China to encourage them to therefore go and feed developing countries to buy Chinese medicine. Now, my point of this story is, why would Gates be supporting China, which is what he's always done? The Gates Foundation grant appears to aid the Chinese Communist Party's ambition to intertwine itself with the healthcare infrastructure of countries across the world. According to the author Natalie Winters, the unearthed grant follows Bill Gates' long history of working with the Chinese Communist Party on business and philanthropic ventures. His foundation appears to demonstrate a similar affinity for the communist regime, sending sizable grants to additional Chinese entities, including those with ties to the lab believed to be the birthplace of COVID-19. It is becoming so incestuous now, one wonders who exactly is intertwining here with World Health Organization, to whom Joe Mercola argues now Bill Gates owns the WHO, inverted commas owns, which is not the first time that that's been reported. He walks around like royalty through the corridors there. He's the chief funder and gets to do it. Now he's manipulating China. And of course, he's got deep ties with the World Economic Forum. So Bill Gates is probably the most known person in terms of globalism. And if now he's schmoozing with China, who looks to be one of the threats of the globalist political will, which is the Five Eyes countries, the Western world, America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Germany, France, form the basis of those countries. And now he's trying to schmooze China into this. Now, this is sort of this wedging that we see here, because we've got the friction of what's going on in the wider world through Russia and the Nord Stream pipeline providing a real avenue here for world war, and China sitting on the fence either way. I hardly think that $560,000 provided to the Clinton initiative from Bill Gates is going to be enough to sway China, but it shows you the ego mania of the Gates and the Gates Foundation here to continually want to manipulate for what they believe is the sole purpose. And none of this is serving anyone who wants to buy poor Chinese quality medicines in a third world country that you don't even need, such as HIV vaccines and COVID-19 vaccines, which clearly Africa didn't need and Asia didn't need during the pandemic anyway.
Well, look, to be honest, Jason, I think this is where I see Gates not as being some sort of mastermind pulling all of these pieces together. I see him more like the spindle in the center of a wheel that's connecting all of these spokes. He's a puppet just like the rest of them. And when we begin to look at some of the pieces, and I'm going to kind of rapid fire a few ideas here that have quite literally come across my desk today, is that we're looking at the US and we've got the Minister for Defense who's saying, oh, you know, I don't think that Russia is going to begin a nuclear war with Ukraine, but we really need to be vigilant. And at the same time, he's saying, well, I don't think that China is going to make any major moves, but also we did kind of annoy them a little bit when Pelosi visited Taipei. So there's that. When we pair that with the fact that we have UK humanitarian groups currently pressing the UK Prime Minister Truss, they're pressuring her to pay heed to the threats that have been targeted at Hong Kongans, Tibetans, and then, of course, you've got the native Uyghurs. And we're also seeing that Canada is currently a little concerned by the CCP activity that's occurring in Canada. They've got at least three that we know of, Chinese police corporations, I guess you would have to call them, within Canada. So we're kind of seeing all these little pieces come together where we've got China's actions at the moment where they seem to be ramping up at least their military training protocols in other countries and in obviously foreign waters. We're seeing a little bit of movement that doesn't seem to be concerning the US. At the same time, we're seeing a little bit of CCP activity in Canada and a little bit of concern in the UK. And it would seem that it's quite possible that we could be on the verge of World War III. And at the very minimum, nations are being pressured to the point where they're having to choose a side, where they're having to almost publicly declare who are their allies and who are their foes. But what we're seeing is the public declaration doesn't match the action that's actually coming out of some of the defense ministers and the prime ministers and the people whose decisions it would be. how engaged their own nation becomes in what is essentially not their own argument, not their own war. So when we're seeing Gates kind of pushing the vaccine, but also pushing funding to China, it makes you then begin to wonder, where do his alliances actually fall? If publicly the US is not an ally of China, yet Gates is financially an ally of China, where's it all really headed?
Mm. And what's really interesting is when you tie that back with what Peter Richards said on this program last week when talking about the Nord Stream sabotage, he just said straight out, he said the World Economic Forum's fingerprints are all over this. So when we talk about the idea of Bill Gates being the centerpiece of a spindle in a wheel, then we can see who's really pulling the strings. It beggars belief that the general public is unable to see the invisible Klaus Schwab, who to us is literally, is almost sitting right on your forehead. Wherever you look, you can see this. This nasty piece of work, the front man for the globalist movement, who himself may only be just another puppet in the scheme. And so it is that many people would think, well, how can you have all these puppets? Somebody's surely got to be calling the shots in all of this. And so it is. But I'm always reminded of that that photograph of Evelyn de Rothschild, putting his finger into the chest of then Prince Charles, and Charles looking at him quite concerned with the caption underneath, "Who really controls the world?" And that is a very, very confronting photograph. But there's so much more being shared around always on social media, and those innocuous little images that you just don't notice at the time, but they all start to point literally to who is clearly pulling the strings here. We're going to pause for a break in a moment. When we come back, Sonia, we're going to look at this incredible story of a major scientific publisher retracting more than 500 scientific papers. This is truly extraordinary and can only be happening at a time when this is the last thing that we can expect that's going on here. But what it points to is that the peer-reviewed system is of itself another form of scientific mafia. Don't go anywhere. Big story after the break here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Ian was a major natural weather event. That storm is now in North Carolina, and that storm will be over tomorrow. And then the real storm begins. The storm of realization, how bad the supply chain is, and how long it's going to take to recover from this storm. And then, of course, there'll be the blame game. It's already really started that this is because of man-made climate change, when in reality, there are many parts of the world that are seeing the opposite go on. But you know the story here on TNT. The question is, how are we going to get this story out to a global population that seems to have been brainwashed by all this? Something beyond my pay grade, but I'll stand up for the truth as far as what the weather's doing anytime someone asks me about it. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Back to the phones. Hello, I hate your guts.
Oh, I hate you too.
What's your name?
Spit.
All right. I hate society.
TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program, and I hope you've had time to go and have a look at the TNT Radio shop. It's really cool, tntradio.live/shop. Now, on Saturday, Sonia, I had the distinct pleasure to be able to sit in the hot chair for Malcolm Roberts, Senator Malcolm himself, and he had an interview lined up with Dr. Philip Altman. It was to go over his unbelievable report that he prepared for Malcolm's COVID summit about a month ago. And this was a 107-page report, and we had a great discussion about what was going on. And we did get to talk a little bit about science and studies. And it turns out that I'd recently watched a film, a French film called 150 milligrams, and it's the story of a true story of a lung specialist who establishes a direct link between suspicious deaths and the consumption of the drug Mediator, a drug that had been on the market for 30 years. This is a drug used for weight loss amongst diabetic patients. Now, to summarize the story very quickly, they proved that the drug was responsible for 70% of all heart valve disease and was literally killing people, thousands of people. But the scientific community rallied in multiple waves to cover up the story. First of all, it was we don't want to know. Then it was, oh, okay, you've got in now in front of us. Now we're going to work out all the reasons why you're not allowed to use this evidence. So we're going to knock your process. And then finally, it was targeted attacks against the doctor involved when everyone else dropped off, with threats of losing her career, her wealth. And of course, you know, it's always going to go one way when you're a whistleblower out on your own. And this is the way that the establishment works. So this is pretty much forming the theme of tonight's show. So this new story that's come up where a scientific journal has been forced to pull 500 or more articles is truly a major, major development in this.
Yeah, and look, Jason, when I came across this article, I thought, oh, this is incredible, because this is showing that science can actually be questioned. It can be disproven. We can learn something new that makes something prior obsolete. But then I also thought, how much of this is actually falling into this sort of fact-checking censorship category? And I think that realistically, the more information we have on hand that we can research, that we can question, that we can peer review, the better it's going to be for humanity. And the more that gets sort of removed and discredited, that can also be a good thing if it's done in a way that has integrity. And this is where I think it's important for people to realize that just because it's published in a medical journal, just because it's signed off on a doctor, doesn't mean it's wrong, doesn't mean it's right. It just means these are the conclusions that they reached at the time from the study that they conducted. So for this article to then explain that one of the world's largest open access journal publishers is retracting more than 500 papers based on the discovery of unethical actions, I will be watching this very closely to decide for myself, are they genuinely unethical actions, or are they just actions that the publisher deemed unethical? Because that's really two different things.
It is very interesting, isn't it? So there's the idea here that there were irregularities in the peer review process, and we are learning from many doctors now that are telling us that the peer-reviewed process is flawed in itself. So this is interesting. What we don't know, of course, is if this is a cover-up or if this is another way of manipulating. So there's two ways that this story can go here, yeah, or whether it's honest scientific discovery. So we'll keep a very, very close eye, as you said, on this story. Now, good old Gatesy buying up all the farmland and then promoting artificial meat. Well, now there is some science that's come out telling us that artificial meat and the idea of the gut and the brain linking, there are some questions being involved. And I'll preface this by saying that I have in the past had an association with a marvelous doctor in Sydney who helped my mum out when she was very, very sick, and he explained to me of the amazing successes that he was having in both cancer patients and autism. And he explained that what he had seen in his work was that there was a lack of connection between gut and brain, and through good nourishment, he was able to open up those pathways, and the children's autism, severe autism, started to subside, and he was experiencing enormous success. Now, this is, of course, anecdotal. This is, of course, word of mouth, but this was the doctor telling me in his own words, and he had no shortage of patients coming good. So who knows what's going to come of that, and I'll leave that where that is. But this is another interesting article here, because now we're seeing the same talk, brain and gut, and pathways that most of us don't ever really understand that there is even a connection, but artificial meat is not going to be an assistant in looking after that connection. Sonia?
Yeah, 100%. So I actually came across a little bit of research courtesy of my own son, who's studying physics and advanced math, and he came to me wanting to know what 838692 was relevant for, and he couldn't quite recall where he had come across it. So I began to do a little research. Now, for our listeners, this is a really, really big subject, and you can go and do your own research. You want to be looking up gene 838692, and then you want to follow that up with Grant 838692. Now, the gene 838692 is actually a plant gene that appears in all green foods, all green plant matter that we ingest as food, also known as salad. And it actually has a knock-on effect in our gut where it basically talks to our gut immune system, which then tells our brain what we need to defend our body against. So this is, in simple terms, what we eat then has a chat to the rest of our body and tells our body how to protect itself. So this is why eating fruit and vegetable is really, really good for your body. But when we actually take a plant and we genetically modify it, this gene no longer talks to our stomach the way it was intended to. And it actually then, in its genetically modified form, changes the conversation that our gut has with our brain as far as the enzymes that it produces and the way that our body protects itself from the other foods that we eat. On its own, that doesn't really seem like a very big deal, but when we factor in mRNA vaccines, and then we also factor in genetically modified plant-based lab-grown meat, what we have is an absolute recipe for disaster, whereby eating these modified foods in combination with the mRNA vaccine, you are essentially telling your body that you must accept and cannot fight any virus, any bacteria that enters your body, be it via ingestion, through the skin, sexually transmitted diseases, you name it, you're going to get it.
You might as well just tell the whole world that they're not going to be happy until they've given everyone an HIV vaccine, but then they're going to have to treat everyone who, as if they have full-blown AIDS. That's where this thing's headed.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely.
It's so impossible. And for people who all our listeners will understand what full-blown AIDS is, but there has to be a proportion of society that doesn't. But when your immune system has got no immune base left, no fighting T cells left, it seems that we are being structured in a way in society today to artificially prop up said loss of T cells, which would represent full-blown AIDS. It's entirely confusing, enormously upsetting for everyone who grew up in the era of the 80s and 90s of the HIV crisis. And there are still many of us that, still would be considering that this is a lethal virus that no one would want. And yet we're being sold this other argument completely through bad nutrition, bad policy, and scientific island of Dr. Moreau lunatics who are running this crazy asylum that's going on. Now, we're rapidly running out of time, Sonia. There's two things I want to discuss. The first one is now they're telling people in the United Kingdom not to buy turkey this Christmas. Can you explain that one?
Well, not real turkey. I'm sure they'd be more than happy for you to buy a plant-based turkey alternative.
Of course.
But RT.com has put up an article titled "Christmas Turkeys Are at Risk." Britain has been fighting in the largest ever outbreak of bird flu, and cases continue to rise. Now, I think you'll recall that here in Australia, we had this sort of purported outbreak of foot and mouth disease in cattle, never actually made its way onto Australian soil. But this here is a prime example of this sort of fear narrative, regardless of what's actually the truth, and people need to be looking through it. So this article says that the largest outbreak of bird flu in UK history might affect the supply of turkeys and could jeopardize traditional Christmas celebrations, the National Farmers Union has said. The warning came as the government has reported more than 150 cases of the disease across the country in less than a year. So just to clarify, that's actually not a lot. And it's a warning of a possible outbreak. But of course, fear mongering doing what it does, people are encouraged that it could cause real supply chain issues in the run up to Christmas time, as far as turkeys and ducks and geese and chicken are concerned in the lead up to Christmas. Does it come from a fear-mongering aspect? Does it come from a pushing plant-based meats aspect? I think the risks are kind of both. When we look at the greater narrative, what we need to realize is that they are never going to come right out and tell us what they're doing directly. They're going to put in little pieces of the puzzle that will come together in due time. So I think that when you're looking at this aspect of fear-mongering of, you know, oh, well, we may not have turkeys, geese, ducks or chicken available in the entirety of the UK in the lead up to Christmas. Oh, but it's okay, don't worry about that because we have this plant-based alternative. Come on, people, don't be that silly. Are we going to buy into this narrative?
Or the other alternative, of course, is that it's an excuse to justify price hikes and make the expensive Christmas turkey just that little bit of a bridge too far.
Yeah.
For mine, I think $40 or $50 on a family turkey, amongst everything else, is about probably where people can tolerate. Some people pay a larger one, $60 or $70. But if someone's suddenly asking you for $150 for that Christmas turkey, it gets to a point where you're just going, look, I'm just going to forego that this year. I don't need it.
Or so people will pay it. I mean, we saw people here in Australia paying $12, $16 for a single lettuce because that was their only option, was to pay it or to not have it. And I think that when you're talking about Christmas gathering, after the last couple of years that people have sustained their way through, they may be willing to pay 50 or 70% more than normal for something that is essentially considered a luxury item at a one-off stage of the year.
And so there it is. What a great way to profiteer and to why not? Because, you know, the general public will just keep going and going and going. Now, we've run out of time, Sonia. It's been great to have you on the show today for the full hour. I look forward to speaking to you throughout the week.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Dr. John Humphreys and Jeremy Beck in the second hour. Here is the news on TNT Radio.